Welcome to Victory Family Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. For sermon notes and videos relating to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
I am not Pastor John. If you are sitting here today and you said, this is not Pastor John, you're the most highly intuitive person I think I've ever met in my entire life. Congratulations. You get the Smart Award for the morning. Guys, I'm going to let you know something real quick before we get into this, because I remember in 2002, when I realized that there was a guest speaker at the church that I didn't realize who was coming. And I remember what I did. You know, I sat down and I had my arms crossed. I'm like, who is this punk coming up and trying to, you know? And so I had my arms crossed and you know what I did? I sat through it and I didn't. I stood up and I left. 2002, I stood up and I left because there was a guest speaker. Now, my name's Pastor Zach. I'm the youth and young adult pastor here at Victory. And I just want to encourage you as we get moving today, that we are not here to hear from me. We're here to hear from God. And the Bible says that when two or more gather, there he is within the midst of them. God is here in this place today. And today we're gathered to hear from him. Amen? Okay, so here's what I need you to do. I am highly youth and young adult pastor, I thrive off of interaction, right? So I need you guys to get your best interaction on. Thank you, Kelly. I need you to get your best interaction on, your big smiling faces, okay? And you can say whatever you want to say if there's like a good point that comes out. But I promise you, my self-worth and my value is based solely on your reaction today. I'm just kidding with you. I'm just kidding with you. It's okay. No, seriously, as I was coming here, as I was like kind of preparing and settling in, you know, the insecurities come because I've been here on a Wednesday night and I'm with teenagers with 20-somethings every Saturday. We love them. It's just like family to them. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know you guys very well. So it's a little intimidating for me. So I'm thinking, you know, hey, maybe I could just present myself as somebody entirely different for the entire message. That would be awesome. So like I thought, and the first person who popped into my head was a little bit childish. So I wrote it off, but it was like Kermit the Frog. I was like, what if I did a whole message as Kermit the Frog, but addressing the audience as, hello, Miss Piggy, is probably not the way that I want to start today. It's not 1994 in a children's sermon. So I backed off of that one. I was like, hey, who has a little bit more of a rapport with people? Who's smart and intelligent and, you know, wise? And I'm like, everybody knows Dr. Phil, right? But the only thing I could say from Dr. Phil is, what are you doing with your life? You are the worst case I have ever seen. And I'm like, no, probably a little too condemning. Probably a little too condemning. And I thought, if you've ever gone to Bible school here, Dr. Philip Richards, I mean, that's another Dr. Phil that would be awesome, right? I'll be him. I'll be him all day long. All prophets in all Old Testament scriptures. You got to get to Monday night Bible class. I'm telling you, you got to get there. I was like, I can't replicate Dr. Philip Richards, man. He's unbelievable. So I was like, well, maybe I can go for like a president or something. And I have a Barack Obama impression, but I'm not ready to let that out yet. So I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that. So I was like, maybe I'll work my way backwards and go with George W. Bush. And like, do you want to know the secret to spiritual success? It's catnaps, frequent catnaps. I'm like, no, that doesn't make any sense. And then I thought maybe Bill Clinton would be good. But the only thing I could say from him is, I did not have, and I was like, no, I'm going to stop right there. I'm done. I'm done. So today, it's just going to be me, okay? You guys okay with that? It's just going to be me. You'll be okay. You guys are encouraging. We're going to stop the sermon right here because that was a good reaction. You always got to end on a high note, right? That's like the story. But let's open up the book to the book of Zechariah today. I've got a message on my heart that I just know is going to encourage people. When God is in something, when God is in something, you just know it. And you know that there's life change in the scriptures, that when we open this up, when we hear from the word of God today, I know that God's gonna lift burdens. And man, I'm praying that today is a day where some of you who've wanted to give up hope, or some of you who've wanted to quit in an aspect of your life, you get a hold of the God who's never quit on you. You get a hold of the things of the word of God today. And this scripture, man, get ready. Go ahead and shake your neighbor real quick. Just tell him, get ready. Tell him, get ready. Now tell the neighbor next to you that you just neglected your second choice. Tell them to get ready. Go ahead and nudge them. Go ahead. Let's read this. I'm going to look at Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. It says, then he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Man, underline this. If you got an analog Bible or a digital Bible, underline it. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts, Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain. And he shall bring forth the top stone amidst shouts of grace, grace to it. And I want you to underline that if you've got a Bible on you today. Underline grace, grace. Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also complete it. And I'm just going to go ahead and speak this forward into your life today, that whatever foundation that you've started to work on, that you've begun to give up in your life, God wants you to pick that ball back up and keep on building on that foundation today. We're going to teach about what Zerubbabel was going through, and I hope it inspires you. The word of the Lord said to me, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also complete it. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. For whoever has despised the day of small things shall rejoice and shall see in the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. These seven are the eyes of the Lord which range through the whole earth. Now remember, this says grace, grace. Just, you know, just for my personal self-worth. Can you just say grace, grace?
Grace.
Thanks, guys. Grace, grace. The word grace is used about 125 times throughout the entire Bible, the majority of those times being in the New Testament. The Old Testament, when it used it, would make it particularly exemplary because it's only used a few times. And so the word grace, grace is used in this Old Testament scripture. Now, the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10, it says that there are various kinds of the grace of God, or various versions of the grace of God. Or if you look up in the King James Version, it says that it's multifaceted grace of God in 1 Peter 4:10. What this word means in the original Greek is more closely associated to a picture. The grace of God is a picture, and there are multi-colors within that picture. There are many different colors within that picture. I thought about the worst picture that I'd ever created. Can I tell you a quick story? Is that okay? Thanks. Thanks for your permission. That's nice. So the worst picture I ever created was in kindergarten, and I thought it was a really good picture. I was supposed to make a picture of a boy, and so I made a picture of a boy, and I boys wore red shirts and blue jeans, in my opinion. So I made a boy with a red shirt and blue jeans, and I realized that the girl who was next to me, Stephanie, was wearing a red shirt and blue jeans. And I said, I gotta provide a little more detail to this picture. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. So I did. I put in a little artistic nuance, the only way that I knew how. I mean, it was purely out of innocence. And this is just proof. It just tells you that teachers really don't read or look over everything before they give you an A. And I got an S at the time. That meant super or whatever. I don't remember. But I remember getting that, and my mom, I took it home, and I said, Mom, look at this picture that I made. And she was so excited about it, she took it to her office. Now, she didn't look over it either. She took it into the cubicle. She hung it up on the cubicle. And so everybody is looking at this picture and coming in, and my mom was so excited from what, you know, she's told me. This is obviously secondhand information, but she said people were coming in, and they're smiling, and they're loving that picture, and then all of a sudden their smile would just go away. They'd be, yeah, that's nice. And they walk away. And she said, this really became awkward. And then her boss came in and looked at the picture and saw it, and his smile went away. And she's like, I got to look at this picture closely. And then she noticed my little artistic nuance, okay? So I promise you, I'm going to paint an appropriate picture of the grace of God for you today. An appropriate picture. There are many kinds, many, many forms, various colors, multicolors of the grace of God within this picture of God's grace. One that we see is in Ephesians chapter 3. It says that you're saved by grace through faith, that not of your own, but it's a gift of God. This is saving grace. We can't do this on our own. This is something that only God could do for us by grace through faith. It's saving grace. And the next type of grace that we see is teaching grace. The Bible actually teaches us in Titus. The Apostle Paul wrote, for the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and to worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. So it's a grace that teaches us to say no. It's a grace that teaches us. So if you hear a message of grace that says you can do whatever you want in life, it's okay because the grace of God is covering you, you're missing this form or this picture of the grace of God or this color of the grace of God within this picture of God's grace. Then there's the justifying grace of God, which is justified, never sinned. justified, never sinned, justifying grace of God, which means that God can forgive you of any sin that you commit, past, present, or future. In 1 John, it says to confess your sins to God. He's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness, right? This is justifying grace. It's God's ability to forgive us. A great definition of grace is God's ability to do in us and through us what we can never do on our own power. God's ability to do in us and through us what we can never do on our own. A really great book, if you're looking to study the book of grace, is a book by James B. Richards, another Dr. Richards here, that is called Grace, Power to Change. Get a hold of that. It'll change your life. Today, I'm used to speaking at night. Today, I don't want to talk about any of those graces. I just want to take one little section of grace called God's finishing grace. And I want to teach you about it. So today, for you who are a little bit more ordered in your note-taking, we like this here. It's great. On the back of your bulletin, you can take some notes. But I've entitled this, Finish the Grace. Finish the Grace. So go ahead and shake your neighbor up one more time and just tell them, finish the grace. Go ahead and tell them, finish the grace. Finish that grace. Every time I come and speak somewhere, I have to admit, that was a little bit weak. We're going to work on that. Anywhere that I speak, I realize that there are people who are about to quit on something. There are people within this room today who are about to give up on a dream that God has dreamt for you, a vision that God has for your life. And instead of saying, I quit or I'm done with the dream that I have for my life, it helps us to put our name in there and start to say, I'm done with the dream that God has for my life. And it doesn't make any sense in that. Do you know that God can do absolutely anything, right? And so there are people in here who are ready to give up and ready to quit. I don't know if it's with a marriage. I don't know if you've dropped the ball with raising your kids and you're ready to quit or you're ready to give up. I don't know if it's chasing the plan of God for you to get into full-time ministry that you've had in your heart from the time you were a little kid. I don't know the area of your life where you're ready to give up. But today, I'm going to nudge you and I'm going to fire you up that it's time for you to not give up that grace. It's time for you to finish that grace. There was a time a couple of years ago where I met with a mentor of mine, and I was going through a particularly tough time. This mentor said to me one thing that changed my life forever. He said, Zach, know your compass. And today, I want you to know your compass. Let's look in the Bible about what finishing grace, in the New Testament particularly, where finishing grace is mentioned. It's mentioned a couple times, particularly by the Apostle Paul. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6, the Apostle Paul wrote, For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. Now, the Apostle Paul wrote this. He wrote 3/4 of the New Testament. The Apostle Paul hit some bumps in the road. And at the end of his life, what is he doing? He's celebrating that he didn't give up and he didn't quit. He's celebrating that. And I want you just to understand that the man who wrote potentially 3/4 of the New Testament had times in his life where he wanted to quit. If you've ever felt alone, like you're the only one who wants to give up, like you're the only one who wants to let go of your relationship with God because things aren't working out the way that you thought that they should work out, you are not alone. There are people all around this place. And as a matter of fact, the man who wrote 3/4 of the New Testament had the exact same thoughts come to him. And one other scripture that I don't have in my notes that the Apostle Paul said. He said, just as you've received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and established in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught. How in the world did we receive Christ Jesus as Lord? By grace, through faith. And so every aspect of our life should be lived out in that same way. But what do? As Christians, we receive something from God, and then we continue to work harder and harder and harder when we hit a bump in the road. And we put our nose down and we say, we're going to work harder, or we give up. And today, I want to let you know that God has a grace for you to tap into. God has a grace for you to tap into. That's a finishing grace that can help you pick up that ball where you dropped it. It can help you to get through anything that you're going through in your life. Some of you might be believing God for your physical body. You may be feeling pain day in and day out, and you got a hold of scriptures, and they started to inspire you, and you started to get a hold of them, but then all of a sudden, all that pain came back, and you just look at that pain, and you say, well, it didn't work. It didn't work. I don't know what to do. Obviously, this recipe of scripture isn't working for me. It's obviously not working, so you're ready to give up the grace. Don't give up the grace. The Apostle Paul wrote that. He also wrote in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6, "And I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion." Come on, when God started a good work in you, he's going to bring it to completion. God started something on the inside of you, in your heart, that you know of, that you've dreamt of, that you prayed for, that you believe God for. And just because you hit a bump in the road doesn't mean that God's not going to bring it to completion. Amen? Amen. Okay, come on, you could do better than that. Come on, you could do better than that. We got it. "And I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus." And Jesus wrote this to the Jews regarding the end times. He said, "But the one who endures to the end will be saved." The one who endures to the end will be saved. And this is exactly what we find in the book of Zechariah. It's a finishing grace. It's a finishing grace. Zechariah is a prophet, and God appears to him, and he begins to tell him his plan. What I love about the story, and you can read this story throughout the book of Ezra, but there's a decree to go and build the temple, go build the city of Jerusalem back in Judea. And the decree goes out, and they start with the temple. They start with the house of God. They start with the area where they worship God. They didn't start with, I mean, they get the wall up, but the first thing that they start to build isn't their personal home, but it's the temple, the area of their relationship with God. And that carries so much significance within our lives. So much significance. I love it. But Ezra recounts this a little bit more clearly, but Zechariah talks about what happens specifically in here. When this word is brought forth to the prophet Zechariah, they hit a little bit of a bump in the road. As soon as they laid the foundation of the temple, there were squatters who came in, and they started to sit right at that foundation. They started to say, "Hey, wait, you can't build here. This is my land." So they literally set up tents, and they got everything in the court system to go against those who were trying to build the city again. And so they're sitting in there, and it's not for 3 months. It's not for 4 months. It's not for a year. It's for 16 years. He laid this foundation, and then all of a sudden, the work had stopped. It's for 16 years. Now, over the last year, we spent a significant amount of time building our youth center. And I remember going through the paperwork, and I remember going through the submissions and just waiting and just casting a lot of vision. And people would say, "Hey, when's a youth center going to be done?" And I'm like, "Nah, yeah, it's good. I don't know. And we submitted the papers. We're waiting for people. It was three months of waiting, and it felt like forever. This is 16 years. 16 years. 16 years when Zerubbabel and Zechariah are believing God for the impossible in their life. 16 years goes by, and they don't see the answer just yet. And there are periods of time represented all throughout this room, 16 years, 6 months, 1 year, 2 days, 3 weeks, where we just haven't seen God show up yet, and we're ready to give up. I'm telling you that Zechariah and Zerubbabel, they understood what it meant to give up. And God said to them these words. And let's look at this in chapter 4 and verse 6. "Then he said to me, 'This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts.'" The first thing that God wants these gentlemen to do is get their eyes off of their strength and get them onto God's strength. And that's the first thing that all of us who want to tap into the finishing power of God, the finishing grace of God, need to do. We need to get our eyes off of how sad our lives are, and how everything has just not worked out for me. We need to get it off of our strength and get it onto His. Can I just tell you something? As a youth pastor and as a young adult pastor, I work with a lot of teenagers and a lot of 20-somethings. I do a lot of one-on-one spiritual guidance as well. I don't help people emotionally. I try to point them to the scriptures. And as I interact with them, do you know what I see a deficit in mostly? I see a deficit in men in this culture standing up and being men. I see, and I'm not judging anyone in here. As a matter of fact, as I talk about men who've lost their jobs, I understand what that's like, because I grew up in a home. I understand what it's like for the next generation. I grew up in a home where my dad didn't have a job for a long time. And I remember being in seventh, eighth grade. I don't remember when it was, where we didn't have enough money for the week. And I remember we ordered a pizza, and it was a $10 pizza. And my mom gave me, I think, $25. And I didn't know how to tip, because, you know, she wasn't with us. So she said, "Just tip him." And I said, "Okay, sounds good to me." And I gave him all $25 for a $10 pizza. And she said, "Hey, where's the change? Where's it?" And I said, "Mommy told me to tip him." She said, No. Where's all that? There should be 15, 10, 15 bucks here left. Where is it?" And I said, I gave it all to him. She said, Zach, you have to call him back and get him to come back because we that's our money for the week. We don't have anything left. You can't do this. I was embarrassed as a seventh grader to have to call that pizza guy to come back to give me a tip. You know, the pizza guy said to me, he said, I would assume that you would be a little bit smarter to leave me to understand what a tip should be. He said that to me. And you know that defined in my life, that wrote laws in my heart. God's poverty is not a blessing. It is not a blessing. God doesn't want any kid going through that. And what I see in this culture is that when men hit a bump in the road, instead of grabbing a hold of God and being tenacious like God called you to be, start to back off and start to complain on it in social media. Let me tell you something. Would you quit it? Would you seriously stop it? Because that next generation is watching how you respond in times of adversity. And now, more than ever, teenagers and 20-somethings need older generations to look toward, to say, this is how I respond when life doesn't go my way. This is how I finish the grace. This is how I step into the call of God in my life at a later age. So if you have lost your job, man, you know what? Change it, change that attitude. Change those words, because that next generation is watching you. They need you. Men, do not apologize for having testosterone. Nice grunt, brother. I don't know where you are, but I like that. Man. You know God gave you testosterone for a reason. You know what testosterone makes you? Makes you competitive, doesn't it? You want to win. I'll cheat at chutes and ladders with my son. No, I will. I'll tell him that later, but you know, you can't let your son beat you. Seriously? He needs to know who's boss in the house, you know? You ask my son, hey, who's the boss of the house? He'll say, Daddy, just like that. And then he looks at me, he's like, Daddy, who's boss of Nora? I said, who do you think? He goes, me. That's what he said. Like, well, no, but, you know, it's just like, you know. You know, God made you competitive. God made you to be tenacious. And don't let culture tell you the way that you should be. You just stand up in the midst of adversity and you keep on moving. And that's what God is doing, because you know what? It wasn't dependent on their ability. It wasn't dependent on Zerubbabel's ability. It was dependent on God's ability. It was all dependent on him. He said, not by strength nor by power. You can have all the strength. You can have all the power. You can have all the intellect. You can have all the training in the world. But unless you're relying on the power of God in your life, it's not going to amount to much. God's power is infinite, and we want to work hard on our own. We want to put all the time and all the effort and work 16-hour days to make something happen for us. Guys, God is able to open up a door for you that no man can shut, the book of Revelation says. God is all-powerful. And the first thing he says is, get your eyes off of your ability, or get your eyes off of your inability. For 16 years, you've been fighting this battle, and it hasn't been getting you anywhere. But one word from God can change anything. Amen? One word from God can change anything in your life. One word from God can change any circumstance. One word. One word. And God says, not by might nor by strength, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. He gets their eyes off of their inadequacy and onto him. Some of us need to take that note. And he says this, who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain. Man, I'm going to get back to this in just a little bit. What a scripture. And he shall bring forward the top stone amidst shouts of grace to it. I want you to look at this and realize it's shouts of grace. Can I just be plain? Yeah? Okay. It doesn't say whispers of grace. It doesn't say whisper grace once. This top stone is like the mantle. It's like the fireplace. It's the last stone that you put in that is that stone that it's like, it's the finished product. It represents the finishing grace of God. You're going to put in that top stone and you're going to grab it first and you're going to start shouting grace to it. Grace to it. Grace. He doesn't say whisper grace. He says shout grace. Now, sweetie, I have to tell you, I'm going to tell a story and I'm not making fun of you by any means. And I'm not doing a sweeping generalization of guys and girls here. But from a lot of my friends, I understand that this is kind of the norm. How many men like to go shopping in here? Probably just a couple. Not the majority, right, guys? Fellas, how do we shop?
Go in, go out.
Exactly. Go in, we know exactly what we want, and we go out. That's what we do. How do girls shop? I don't know, but this is how my wife shops. This is how my friend's wife shop. They go in. They know what they want. It's just a pair of pants. But they have to touch everything else in the store. So they go into the store and they're like, oh, this is cute. And they pull it off and they're like, oh, I like this. I'm like, sweetie, what did we come in here for? And she's like, oh yeah, pants. Came in here for pants. I can't. What kind of pants? Jeans. I need jeans. I need jeans. So she grabs everything in the store. She touches everything in the store. And then she grabs 12 pairs of pants to take to the changing room, right? And as a guy who just wants to go in and go out, like my brother over here, go in and go out, this just wrecks me on the inside. I'm like, I can't take this right now. 12 pairs of pants. I mean, really? 12 pairs of pants. And she says, well, I need to know how they all fit. I mean, some are low cut, some are high cut, some are, you know, I don't want to have mom hips and, you know, all this stuff. I'm like, I get it. Okay, sounds good. So she's got to try them on. And she starts trying them on and she comes out and she's like, do you like these ones on me? You know, like the girls, these ones? You like this? Yeah, like this right here? So she comes out and says, do you like these ones? You know what I do normally? I'm like, yeah, get them. Just, yeah, great. Just get them. Do you know that response right there annoys her to no end? She's like, no, I really, what do you think about these pants? What do you think? Here's what she wants. She doesn't want me going, yeah, that's great, get them. She wants me going, oh, dang, look at those pants. Whoa, bring them all in. Come on, look at my wife and her pants. Look at these pants. She has to get these pants. You have any coupons? Because I'm about to buy the whole shelf. Look at these pants. Oh, gosh, get them, sweetie, get them. That's the type of response that she's looking for. Women, you know what I'm talking about here? Okay. So, when it comes to our relationship with God, how inexpressive are we? What do? When we face a mountain in our life, what do? We go, grace, do it. Grace to it. Now, this scripture is saying grace to it. Not just one time, not just a whisper of grace, but you start shouting grace to it. And God tells Zechariah that in Zerubbabel, this mountain is going to become a plain. This mountain that you guys are facing, it's going to become a smooth plain. And I'm just speaking that into your life right now, that the mountain that you're facing, you put that capstone up, you put that top stone up, you realize that your foundation is in Christ and that rock will never move. What happens? You start shouting grace to it, and that mountain moves and becomes a smooth plain. And today, your mountains are you better tell your mountain, get ready. You better start moving, because you're going to turn into a smooth plain, a smooth plain. Your mountain cannot handle the God who's inside of you. The Bible says that greater is he who is in you than he who's in the world. Just because you hit a little bump in the road doesn't mean that God's not in it. Just because things aren't going your way doesn't mean that God's not in it. You better get ready to start saying grace to that thing. And I'm going to tell you in just a little bit, we're going to be thinking about that. I want you to start stirring yourself up and saying, hey, what is that mountain in my life that needs to be moved into a smooth plain? What is that mountain? I just have to keep on reading, because this entire scripture is fantastic. In verse 8, it says, then the word of the Lord came to me saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also complete it. Put your name in there. The hands of Billy or Bobby or Sally or any other generic name that might be represented in this room. The hands, my hands have started this foundation, and my hands are going to complete it. My hands are going to complete it. So your son or your daughter is not living for God, and you feel really badly in your heart that you didn't raise them in a church, you can pick up that ball right now. You may have laid a foundation and told them, hey, there is a God, and we pray, and when times get tough, we rely and we lean on them. We lean on God. You may have laid that foundation. I'm telling you, it's time to start building on top of that foundation in your life. It's time to start building that on top of that foundation. That mountain is going to be moved into a smooth plain. You might be looking at your marriage today and saying, you don't know how mountainous this really is right now. You don't know the arguments that we've had behind closed doors. You don't know the words that we've said about each other. You don't know what he or she did to me. I can just never get over it. I can forgive, but I can't forget. today your mountain is going to be moved into a smooth plane if you let the finishing grace of God in. Do you know that God can heal and restore any situation and any marriage, any circumstance represented in this room today? Anyone. Ready to quit. I'm ready to give up. I've lost hope. I'm hopeless. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. Your heart is sick. I get it. But God can heal anything. Today, you may have come into this place, your mountain. I mean, it may be the healing in your physical body, where you just received a doctor's report. You see what the Word of God says. That by His stripes, you've already been healed. It's a part of salvation. It's a part of redemption. You start seeing the Word of God in those areas, and you just start seeing the doctor's reports, and you feel the pain, and you're expecting a miracle, but you know what? Just somehow gets worse and worse and worse. I'm telling you that God has not given up, and there's a finishing grace of God that He wants you to tap into right now. Don't give up the grace. Finish the grace. Finish the grace. I had a privilege of going on a bike trip with some gentlemen who might be in this room right now. I'm just going to throw some names out there. If you ever met Lenny Weaver, he's an absolute freak of nature, okay? When it comes to biking, I heard Lenny started in the 70s, and he had an afro that was out to here, and he couldn't get the helmet on top of that afro because it was so big. I would love to see pictures of that. That's not true. I just like to joke with him about it. But he had some hair, that's for sure. But Lenny's been biking since the 70s, and I was talking to Lenny one day, and he just said, you know, I really like riding with Keith. This is Keith Limback, who might be here today. He's like, I really like riding with Keith. So why do you like riding with Keith? Because I always want to get better. I always want to grow in every area. And he said to me, well, Keith knows how to grind it out. I said, grind it out? What do you mean? And he said, well, you're going to hit some pain when you're biking. Now, we bike from D.C. to Pittsburgh, and obviously you get a little bit of pain in some areas there, particularly because of the seat, but that's a story for another day. So we're biking. Yeah, we get some pain. And he said, you're going to feel some pain when you bike. And see, I thought that these guys that I looked up to, and I know that Keith had put about 20,000 miles on one bike. Lenny had put over 100,000 miles, most likely, on his legs total since the 70s. There was another gentleman who's ridden probably about the same. And there's another guy who rides 2 to 3 hours a day, every day of the year, because he lives in the Dominican Republic we were riding with. And I looked at some of these guys, and I looked at them, and they're monsters to me, you know? A young guy who's trying to get in shape and stay in shape. I mean, they're monsters. They're freaks of nature to me. It was the first time that I'd realized that they had gone through some pain. And he said, to grind it out, you got to know that you're going to hit some pain, but you got to just keep on, you just got to keep on going. You just got to keep on going. And so I wanted to learn how to grind it out. So I went up to Keith and I was like, Keith, man, you know, I know this might sound weird, but man, can you teach me how to grind it out? You know what Keith looked at? He looked at me. He looked me straight in the eyes. He said, there's always more in you than you think there is. There's always more in you than you think there is. And we're riding, I have to throw this out there just because I'm a competitive man, but we rode about 18, 19 miles an hour for about 60 miles. It was unbelievable. We get there, we rode into Ohio Powell, and we were there long before anybody else. But that day, man, I learned that you're going to hit some pain, that there's always more in you than you think that there is. And I'm telling you that this scripture tells us this, that there's always more in you than you think that there is. Victory Family Church, it's time to dig down deep. You've experienced some pain, you've experienced some heartache, and you're going to in this world. Jesus Himself said it. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. He said, I've not overcome your problem, I've overcome the root of your problem. I've overcome it. So greater is He who's in us than he who's in the world. There's always more in you than you think there is. And the scripture tells me one more thing. It's God's finishing grace doesn't make you a quitter. God's finishing grace makes you an overcomer. Makes you an overcomer. This morning, I want you to think about the mountain that might be represented in your life. Not in the life of somebody else. That's real easy, right? Well, I know somebody who's going through. No, I'm not asking you to do that. It's great to stand in faith, but today I feel in my heart you need to think about yourself. It's okay to be selfish for one time in your life and receive from God for yourself. I want you to think about that mountain that's in your life. Your mountain cannot handle the God who's inside of you. Today, that mountain is going to be moved into a smooth plain. Think about that. What is that area, that mountain that's in your life? Will you guys all stand to your feet with me this morning? I'm going to pray for you. And what I really want you to do is the worship team is going to come out back up for 3 minutes. I'm a very precise person. There are three things in life I don't want to be late for: work, church, and fishing. 3 minutes. Don't leave. Because we're going to do something and we're going to let go. And we're going to tap into God's finishing grace in this place right now. Could you all close your eyes? Could you all lift your hands as a sign of sacrifice and surrender? And I just want you to start by speaking out the words grace, grace to your mountain. What is that mountain that's in your life? As the worship team comes out and begins to lead us, I want you to have a time with God right now and let Him work in your life. Let Him do something. Let that finishing grace get a hold of your life right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the power that's in us. You have called us to be resilient. You've called us to overcome the most difficult of circumstances in our lives. And Father, I thank you that we as a church family can tap into the grace of God that's in this room, the finishing grace, the areas that people have given up on or the areas that people have lost hope in. God, I pray that they don't let go of you within this time. I pray in Jesus' name that they tap into the finishing grace of God. Come on, Victor. I know it might be a little bit uncomfortable for you, but I don't care. The Bible says to be expressive. Start saying grace, grace to that mountain. Start talking to that mountain. Start telling it. You be moved into a smooth plane. Some of you have been believing God for children, and today you shout grace, grace to that mountain because you're going to see you're going to see your family expand. Some of you have been believing God for a job. You start shouting grace, grace to that mountain in the midst of all my no training. I've got no training. God doesn't need training to promote you. God doesn't need you to work your tail off, and God doesn't need all of these things the world needs to promote you, to open a door for you. So I'm telling you, today that mountain is going to be moved into a smooth plain. That mountain can't contain the God inside of you. Father, thank you. Thank you, thank you. Thank you that you're good, Father. Thank you, Father. God, today as we worship you, I pray that we give you our all. We give you our highest. We give you our best. Father, we respond in worship. God's looking for people who are going to be abandoned, just reckless abandonment to God. Go after God with all of your heart. Go after God with everything that you have, and don't be ashamed. As we have teenagers in here, as a youth pastor, I just see such a benefit of seeing the whole church come together and worship God, mainly because some of those teenagers need to see men and women of God just being unafraid and unashamed to worship God. Don't ever be ashamed to worship God. Don't ever be ashamed to sing out. Don't ever be ashamed to lift your hands, because that previous generation is watching you, and they need to see how men and women that who they look up to, and they look up to you, follow God. They need to see that. They need to see that. Today, we'll close in just a second. But as we do, we're going to have prayer partners. And I just want to encourage you at the very end of service today, you may have a mountain in your life that you really need a little bit more direction for. Maybe some of you got a hold of everything. Awesome. But some of you might still have some questions. Our prayer partners are going to come up at the very, very end today. And they're going to be able to minister to you and pray for you one-on-one. Guys, as a church family, it's so important that we open up to one another. The Bible says to cast our burdens on God, to cast those things on God, but to also open up with one another, because when you open up to one another about it, there's healing within that place. And some of you might need just a little bit more direction. You might need a little bit more. And so for those of you who need that, awesome, come to the front. Maybe even if you just want to celebrate with somebody and learn how to pray a celebratory prayer of, hey, I know this mountain has moved in my life. The prayer partners are here, not just for the lows of life, but they're here for the highs of life as well, to teach you how to rejoice and to teach you how to believe God and to grab hold of the things of God. So I'd really, really encourage you. Can I just have everybody just close your eyes with me? Just bow your heads and close your eyes with me. Today,
I'm just so aware that there may be people in this room who've never decided to follow Jesus. And so today, I want to give you a very simple invitation that if you've not made a decision to follow Jesus, I just want to tell you, man, it's the simplest decision you'll ever make in your life. I remember being 13 years old and coming to the youth group here. And I remember being in a service much like this where people were worshiping God all around. And for the first time in my life, I felt, wow, God is real. God is alive. And he might be doing that very same thing within your heart. He might be revealing himself that he's alive and he's real. And you may have come here uncertain about your relationship with God, but you don't have to leave in the same way. Today, you can be certain that you have a relationship with God. The Bible says in Romans that to come into a right relationship with God, the only thing that you have to do is believe that God raised Jesus from the dead and confess him Lord of your life. Man, we complicate it, don't we? But it's not complicated at all. You believe that God raised Jesus from the dead and you confess him as Lord of your life. That's it. And so today I want to lead those of you who are uncertain about your walk with God. You may say, you know what? I don't know if I've ever received Jesus. I don't know if I've ever made Jesus the Lord of my life. You don't have to walk out of these doors. And I want to pray for you. So heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Nobody's looking around. We're not going to complicate this. And I'm going to ask you to be bold in just a second. But heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Nobody's looking around. In just a second, I'm going to ask you, as a matter of fact, I'm going to count to three, make it real easy for you so you know exactly when to lift that hand up. But I'm going to ask you to raise your hand up high. And I'll acknowledge it by just saying thank you. We're not going to bring you down to the front. You're not joining a church. You're not doing anything else but simply acknowledging, hey, Pastor Zach, that's me. Please pray for me. I want to receive Jesus today. We're not gonna do anything, but you know what we are gonna do? This whole church, everyone here, is gonna pray out loud, right where they are, and you join us in that prayer. And the Bible says that as you do that, that as you confess Jesus is the Lord of your life, that Jesus comes into your heart and you become a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. Creature is an odd word to us, a brand new person in Christ. The old has gone and the new has come. There might be some people in here today who said, you don't understand what I've done and what I've gone through, guys. God is enough, and he sent his son Jesus to die for every sin you could ever commit, past, present, or future. And so if you're here today, don't let guilt, don't let shame hold you back from the God who died for you. If you're here today and you'd say, Zach, please pray for me. Today, I want to follow Jesus. I want to make a declaration to follow Jesus. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, nobody's looking around. I'm going to count to three, and when I get to three, you raise that hand up high boldly, and I'll pray for you. Ready? Here's your chance. One, two, three. Go ahead and raise it up. There's a lot of hands going up. One, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you so much. Thank you so much, ma'am. Thank you so much, ma'am. Thank you so much, bro. Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm in the middle. Thank you so much. Thank you. See some in the risers. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm to my right, your left. Anybody say, Zach, please pray for me. Awesome. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Let's all, right where we are, just pray out loud with those who raise their hand. Just repeat after me. Say, Father God, I come to you in Jesus' name, and I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on the cross for me. And God, you rose him to life that I could live. Come into my life. Come into my heart. I'm a child of God, and I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now let's give them the biggest hand clap. Welcome to the family. We're so proud of you. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray you were blessed by God's word. For additional teachings, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.